and welcome. Thank you so much for being here today. My name is Caroline Donnelly, and you can find me online at www.carolinerdonnelly.com. And before I get into our topic today, I just want to give a shout out to my bud Cowboy Shaman. You rock, man. Folks, check out his podcasts. Not only does he have great content, but his laugh will give you the warm fuzzies, I promise. Now, today, what I'm going to do is read a passage from my most favorite book of all time. I've been reading this book since I was a little girl. I've read it many times. And then I want to discuss some of the important points that I have found in this passage. It's a really popular book, so I'm sure many of you will recognize it. Here we go. I looked up and saw the very last thing I expected, a huge lion coming slowly toward me. And one queer thing was that there was no moon last night, but there was moonlight where the lion was. So it came nearer and nearer. I was terribly afraid of it. You may think that, being a dragon, I could have knocked any lion out easily enough. But it wasn't that kind of fear. I wasn't afraid of it eating me. I was just afraid of it, if you can understand. Well, it came close up to me and looked straight into my eyes, and I shut my eyes tight. But that wasn't any good, because it told me to follow it.
You mean it spoke?
No, I don't know. Now that you mention it, I don't think it did. But it told me all the same, and I knew I'd have to do what it told me. So I got up and followed it. And it led me a long way into the mountains. And there was always this moonlight over and round the lion wherever we went. So at last we came to the top of a mountain I'd never seen before, and on top of this mountain there was a garden, trees and fruit and everything. In the middle of it there was a well. I knew it was a well because you could see the water bubbling up from the bottom of it, but it was a lot bigger than most wells, like a very big round bath with marble steps going down into it. The water was as clear as anything, and I'd thought if I could get in there and bathe, it would ease the pain in my leg. But the lion told me I must undress first. Mind you, I don't know if he said any words out loud or not. I was just going to say that I couldn't undress because I hadn't any clothes on, when I suddenly thought that dragons are snaky sort of things, and snakes can cast their skins. Oh, of course, thought I. That's what the lion means. So I started scratching myself, and my scales began coming off all over the place. And then I scratched a little deeper, and instead of just scales coming off here and there, my whole skin started peeling off beautifully, like it does after an illness, or as if I was a banana. In a minute or two, I just stepped out of it. I could see it lying there beside me, looking rather nasty. It was a most lovely feeling. So I started to go down into the well for my bathe. But just as I was going to put my feet into the water, I looked down and saw that they were all hard and rough and wrinkled and scaly, just as they had been before. Oh, that's all right, said I. It only means I had another smaller suit on underneath the first one, and I'll have to get out of it too. So I scratched and tore again, and this underskin peeled off beautifully, and out I stepped and left it lying beside the other one, and went down to the well for my bathe. Well, exactly the same thing happened again, and I thought to myself, oh dear, however many skins have I got to take off? For I was longing to bathe my leg. So I scratched away for the third time and got off a third skin, just like the others, and stepped out of it. But as soon as I looked at myself in the water, I knew it had been no good. Then the lion said, but I don't know if it spoke, you will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate now, so I just lay flat down on my back to let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when he began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I'd ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off. You know, if you've ever picked the scab off a sore place, it hurts like billio, but it is such fun to see it coming away. I know exactly what you mean, said Edmund. Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done it myself, the other three times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was, lying on the grass, only ever so much thicker and darker and more knobbly looking than the others had been. And there was I, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender underneath now that I'd had no skin on, and threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious, and as soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I turned into a boy again. You'd think me simply phony if I told you how I felt about my own arms. I know they've no muscle and are pretty mouldy compared with Caspian's, but I was so glad to see them. After a bit, the lion took me out and dressed me. The boy in this passage went through a process that I very strongly relate to, and I think many of us do. The first thing he felt, remember, it was fear. We're often too afraid of our dreams. What if we fail? What if we aren't good enough? What will others think? These things all speak to us and they hold us back so much. Then Eustace, that was the boy's name, was called to follow. We try to shut out that guidance, our inner voice, whatever you want to call it, spirit, God, the universe. We try to shut it out, but it continues speaking to us. We will not have peace until we follow our dream. We must trust. Then he wanted to bathe, and we want to bathe in our dream, but we must first undress, just as the boy had to do. We have to cast off our old programming, our habits, our ways of thinking, and, of course, our fears. First, we try to do this in ways that are not uncomfortable, ways that will not shake up our world or affect our current status quo. We try to avoid pain, just like the boy gently took off one layer of the dragon's scales, but it didn't make any difference, remember? However, he became desperate, and once we are desperate, we become willing to take the risk and step fully into our dream. We need to allow the universe to make us uncomfortable, to do things we're uncertain of, to be authentic and real. And this may hurt at times. However, when we do step into our dream, when we do follow it, when we do immerse ourselves into it, just as he immersed himself into the water at the well, then the universe dresses us. It clothes us in our dream, in abundance, in happiness, and in fulfillment. So I encourage you, give yourself to your dream. Believe you can do it. Cast off a mindset of lack, of can't, and step into your possibilities, because I promise you, when you do that, the universe will respond in a positive way. Now, I want to tell you where that passage came from. And as I said, this is my favorite book. I love it. And it's by C.S. Lewis, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, from his Narnia series. And these seven books have had a profound impact on my life. They may only be children's books, but there are some great messages within them, and I still read them every few years, the whole set all the way through. And I've learned a great deal from them. And they're easy to read, and they're a lot of fun, too. So thank you so much for being here today. Remember that I welcome your feedback and comments. My name is Caroline Donnelly, and you can find me at www.carolinerdonnelly.com. That's carolinerdonnelly.com. Until next time, enjoy your journey.